The Thailand coconut is so nice and sweet. That is maybe the only reason why I would move from Brazil, because the coconuts are more sweeter. And there's something with coconuts. When I... Already in the car, Mr. Lee was asking me, what do I like? He would like to give me some gifts. And the only thing I could think about was coconut. Coconut water. And then he brought me coconut in different shapes. And it's something with coconuts, you know. I have so many coconuts here also. I was just reminded, you know, it's something with coconuts. So to get to the sweetness, the coconut has to be cracked, isn't it? If you're just a coconut, you don't know the sweetness in you. You are afraid to get cracked. So that's the nature. Just in the coconut, you have the whole teaching of the Buddha. Because the ego is very hard, protected, full of ideas, fear, on guard. Then the master has to come and crack the coconut. And then inside, it's so sweet. That's why it's two things. That is Shiva, you know, the destroyer. He has to destroy. But he has to destroy to get to the juice. So is that to destroy or is it to help? That's the thing, you know. In the beginning, it feels like you destroy, you hurt, no? Because the ego is so protected. After, when you have tasted the sweetness, then you are grateful. And that's the whole story. I will read you some words of the Buddha. He said, want nothing. Where there is desire, say nothing. Happiness or sorrow, whatever happens to you, walk on, walk on. Untouched, unattached, do not ask. Do not ask for family, children, power, or wealth, either for yourself or for another. Can a wise man wish to rise unjustly? Very few cross over the river. Most are stranded on this side. On the riverbank, they run up and down, up and down. But the wise man, following the way, crosses over to the other side, beyond the reach of death. He leaves the dark way for the way of light. He leaves his home, seeking happiness on the hard road, free from desires, free from possessions, free from the dark places of the heart, free from attachments, free from the appetite of this world, following the seven lights of awakening and rejoicing greatly in his freedom. In this world, the wise man becomes himself a light, so pure, shining, free. That is the wise man. And that's why the Buddhas are calling people the fools, because the fools are not wise men. They're doing exactly the opposite of the wise. They get more and more entangled in this world, in the darkness, in desires, in confusion. So Buddha starts with just saying, want nothing. Where there is desire, say nothing. Wanting nothing means there is no desires. You are content where you are. You are content in yourself. There is nothing to want outside your inner light. You are settled in your heart, in your being. Want nothing means there are no desires. There's nothing that pulls you out. Desires always takes you away from yourself, away from this moment. So he says, want nothing. Where there is desire, say nothing. So that saying might come from the outside. Somebody wants you to get involved in something. Unconscious, stupid, some desire, some wanting, some greed. You are so easy to be influenced by others. But it can also be from your own mind. Your mind, your thoughts comes up with something all the time. And having no awareness, you can very easily follow that. And that can change the whole course of your life, just listening to one stupid desire, one thought, being influenced by some, your anger, your jealousy, your fear, your greed, whatever it is. So he starts with saying, want nothing. Where there is desire, say nothing. Be quiet. Observe. Be watchful. Whatever happens, bring some awareness into it. Happiness or sorrow, whatever befalls you, walk on. Happiness or sorrow, because that is how life is. It's happiness and it's sorrow. It's dual, this life, this physical life, materialistic life in the body, has to have both. It has happiness, it has sorrow. It's up and down. Accept life as it is. Don't cling to happiness. Don't indulge in sorrow. This is how life is. Happiness or sorrow, whatever befalls you, whatever happens to you, walk on. Be untouched. Remember why you are here. Move on. Don't get stuck. Be flowing. Grow. Don't let any happiness, any sorrow stop you. It's not your destination. It's beyond that. Do not ask for family or power or wealth, either for yourself or for another. Can a wise man wish to rise unjustly? Don't go astray. All this power, wealth, family, you have had so many times, so many lifetimes. Now, when the doors are open, when you are with a Buddha, wake up. Go higher, go deeper, remember. Don't get entangled again in more things of the world. Few cross over the river, most are stranded on this side. On the riverbank, they are running up and down, up and down. And most are stranded on this side. What is this side? This is the side of attachments, samsara, illusions, image, power, greed, fear, war, competition. That is what the Buddha means on this side of the river. There is another side. Crossing the river, but then you have to be courageous. Buddha has another way. He says, enter the stream. That is for the sannyasins, the monks, the bhikkhus. They have entered the stream. They had the courage to go into the river. That is the first. You have to leave this shore, which you think are the safety, because you know it, the safety of the ego, the society, the image, the family, the money. You have to leave that even to start. You have to see that is not your focus. The focus is to go into the unknown. Then you will be tested when you enter the river. This river of meditation, of consciousness, of being a disciple, of studying yourself, that will purify you, no? Then you can cross to the other shore. Very few people reach to the other shore. And then what happens on the other shore? Few cross over the river. Most are stranded on this side. On the riverbank, they run up and down, up and down. That is life in a nutshell. Just running up and down, running in circle. Maybe a lot is happening. I'm so busy, I have so much to do. It's so much I managed, but it's just the running around. What are you really doing? Where are you going? Nobody knows where they are running, but still they are running. Doing the same things, keeping themselves busy in all kinds of useless things. That's why it's shocking to look at oneself. It's very hard to look at yourself because you have to face all your ideas, all your desires, all your wanting, all your unconsciousness that keeps on being repetitive. So your life, again and again and again, you get entangled. You can never have peace. And you yourself are creating it. But by holding on to some desire, some wanting, some dream, some idea. And all that keeps you away from the moment. Very few cross over the river. Most are stranded on this side. On the riverbank, they are run up and down, up and down. Yes, because if you see, if you wake up just a little bit, then you will say, what am I doing? I want to be free. I want to be happy. I want to go on the true path. But the wise man, following the way, crosses over beyond the reach of death. The wise man. And Buddha's wise man is not from the head. is someone who follows his being, his heart, his soul. Somebody who has had an insight, the wise man. He has turned his back to the darkness, to the temptations, the dreams of the world. He has seen through it. That is one who is wise. But for the wise man, following the way crosses over beyond the reach of death. Beyond the reach of death, because he has touched the deathless in himself or herself. When you touch your innermost being, you touch that which is deathless, eternal, your true self, your original nature, your innocent soul, timeless, always there, but hidden by all the layers of your mind. That's what Buddha is saying. The wise man following the way crosses over beyond the reach of death. Because then there is no fear of death. No, everybody who is here, they have been born. That we can, at least we can agree on. Hopefully you are here. You know that you are born, you are here. That's the only thing that is sure. We are here now. Okay, that will happen. Birth has already happened, you were unconscious. That will happen. The most important things for life, no? The yin and the yang. You coming in, going out. Yeah. No, you weren't conscious when you came in, just go ga ga ga. Where am I? Yeah? But you have a great opportunity. That is the wise man, the wise woman. Now becoming more conscious in life, more aware. I can be aware when I live. Being the more aware you are, more present you are, more at peace you are with yourself, with existence, you will go beyond that. You don't die unconscious. Most people, they come into this life unconscious, they leave unconscious. And then it goes on, because you haven't learned the lesson, you haven't evolved. The masses hardly evolve, because it's hard work. You have to break free of the temptations. So that's why they mean that life is a school. All these wanting desires that's been going on for lifetimes. But the wise man following the way, what is the way? That is the way of the guru, of the masters, of Buddha himself, of freedom, the eternal teaching, the Tao. The royal way, following the way, crosses over beyond the reach of death. And they say if you take all, the bottom of all fear is the fear of dying, of death. So if you make friends with death, and that is what meditation really is. It goes so deep that you find a place where you are no more as a persona. You are just consciousness. Being there, there is no fear. Because it is like it always have been, is and will be. Beyond the reach of death. Then you have no fear of that. You will embrace that, like you embrace everything. He leaves the dark way for the way of light. Mm-hmm. He leaves the unconscious way, the ego ways, for a life of consciousness, from darkness to light. From death, they have this beautiful prayer, ancient in India, "Oh Master, oh Guru, lead me from light, from darkness to light. Please help me, lead me from darkness to light, from death, which is fear, to immortality. Please hold my hand." He leaves the dark ways for the way of the light. That is a bhikkhu, a sannyasin, a sikha, no? He leaves the dark ways for the ways of light, of consciousness. But you have to be on guard, you have to be steady, you have to be committed. Only you can do it. He leaves the home, seeking happiness on the hard road. And not only, yes, maybe he has to leave home, because that's how it has become always. For thousands of years, the seeker leaves the home, the family, the society. Because you are burdened by the conditioning, by family, by society, by being one of the many. So, that is very normal. You have to leave the masses. You have to go back to become natural. That's this whole thing of going back to the mountains, to the forest, to the jungle, to the Himalayas. Because you want to become natural, so you have to be in natural environment. Then it will help you, it will remind you to be with people who is unconscious is much more hard. That's why being in the Buddha field, being with the Guru, is very easy, because the energy is supporting that. Now you are in the place, it's up to you now, the doors are open. Being alone is very hard. He leaves the dark way for the way of the light. He leaves his home seeking happiness on the hard road. But another meaning also with the home is your home is your mind. That is where you have taken shelter, which is deeper. Maybe first you have to break out, being rebellious, leaving your family, your home, your parents, your husband, your family. Like even Buddha himself did. He left his wife, his castle, his newborn child. Because that is pulling him in. When you are enlightened, it doesn't touch you, but it's part of the... You have to pay for freedom as such. You have to go into the unknown. You have to walk alone. That is the meaning of it. But then deeper than that, he still had his mind. So to leave the home of the mind, your identity, that is the real challenge. That is only by meditation, satsang, inquiry, self-knowledge, wisdom, no? Then you realize that you are not the one you have been identified with. Then the story is that Buddha, one day, after 6-7 years, he came back after his enlightenment. The parents, the father didn't understand. He was still angry because Buddha was supposed to take over the kingdom. He was a prince. And the parents still see you as a child. So he was angry. He didn't see. He was so covered in his own ideas still, his frustration, his disappointment in the son. Can you imagine having a son like the Buddha? Must be terrible, no? But it is when you are stuck in the ways of the world, no? He could see maybe later on when he starts seeing that this is not who was leaving the home. It's a different fragrance, a different eyes. And the wife also, she asked, but did you have to leave me? Did you have to leave us to do this, to find what you have found? And he said, no. But that, you don't know. So it's a different ways of breaking attachments. But the main thing here is he leaves his home. It's not only the physical home, it's your home in your head, which is much deeper. Many people, no, leave their home, especially in the West, no? Which can be great, is part of the journey. I had to leave. But I also came back. And I also said, no, it was not needed, because it's here. But that you don't know. And when you can be enlightened with your own family, then you're really enlightened. That's the test. Otherwise, maybe you are away, then you are like, I have had people like that, they are enlightened, but then when they come back to satsang, then they realize, no, I'm not enlightened. But the good thing in satsang, everybody is enlightened. Maybe. He leaves the dark ways for the way of the light. But this is, even that is almost impossible to leave the dark ways, because it's only dark ways. Only when the guru comes into the life, when the Buddha, when the light comes into the darkness, then you can see, wow, is something else. It's a light in the darkness. That's what the Buddha is. He brings light into your darkness. Those who can see that leaves his home, seeking happiness on the hard road. And why the hard road? The hard road because it's unknown. You don't know where you're going. You will be challenged. It's totally new. It's a rebirth. You will be tested more now, but now you have to live in awareness, not unconscious, trained by other unconscious people. No, you have a responsibility, you have your own eyes, you have to trust yourself. It's a hard road. But only when there is a hard road will you grow. You're going into the unknown. You are exploring. And if you get that bitten by that desire of freedom, of going into the unknown, understanding, I have to do it, then you are a sannyasin, a bhikkhu, a wise one. Free from desire, free from possessions, free from the dark places of the heart, free from attachment and appetite, following the seven lights of awakening. Free from desire, free from possession, free from the dark places of the heart. This is all the same thing, free from the influence of the mind. Not being influenced by the mind. Who will It's the only thing that takes you into all these dark places, desires, doubt, fear. The whole battle is to regain your true wisdom that is untouched by the mind. You use your mind like, no, you have to drive on the left side of the road, no? Yeah? It's good to have the mind. In Europe, we drive on the right side, yeah? Talking about that, there's many people who are excited. I have taught so many people, or taking so many people around me into driving a motorbike and all these things that they have never done before. And now also, of course, people do that because it's fun and it's beautiful. But don't get lost, you have to have an awareness, because you have so many accidents every year in Thailand, in Bali, in India, and people get crippled and they die, and motorbike and scooters are number one. Suddenly you drive on the wrong side. Maybe you cannot drive. Then you have somebody in the back, you're unconscious. And it happens all the time. And here also, I hear people falling, yeah? So you have to be aware. You have to see your own limitations. And that is awareness. Just the other day I was driving and I was like, I saw this, isn't that some foreigner? Yeah, it is. Woo, woo, woo. And I was just behind. And then it's like Nadim. And it's like, my God. And then a girl in the back, of course. Cool scene, oh, driving. So this is like, you have to be aware, because the next thing, you are no more. Totally out, and it's like, even the master couldn't pass, because like, Please, you know, you cannot drive, you are unconscious, but you have to stay on the left side. And stay as far to the left side as you can, please. So people can pass. And you can do that. They even have this little white there on the side. Go as much as you can there so people can pass you, you know. Otherwise you make accidents. And the Thais are so nice, they're just like, ooh, ooh, ooh. There may be a drunkard or something here. It's very seldom they honk or have this anger, no? You have to behave, you have to be a little conscious. You have to see your own limitations. Please, for your own sake. Then people, oh, they go there and there, no, they have to explore. And people, I know people have been shopping and shopping and shopping, and even from the retreat they have to go and shop. It's like, it's a madness. It's just like Buddha said, running up and down on the wrong side of the river, having no idea where they are. Going to the temple, yeah, it's like, it's great. But that's why I said you should come before the retreat and have time after the retreat and do, when you are here, this is precious. But you are so asleep that you don't know it. I have people that, oh, they forgot they went to the temple. They went to see the elephants. The elephant will still be there, the temple will still be there, the forest will still be there, the waterfall will still be there. But the master will be gone. Wake up. But that's how asleep you are. Seeing is all just seeing. Like Savini wrote me, so many beautiful things, everybody loved Thailand. But the real temple, the real gem, is inside. That's where you have to go. Don't forget that. It's all still, even if it's a temple, it's just there. An elephant. But that's what I say, it's very difficult because I have so many. I have people on all different levels. of evolution, of awareness, of desires, where they are into, how their life is. But if you are with me, then you should at least have an effort to be here when there is satsang, when there is program, when there is the retreat. But even that, some is not. They're so asleep, they're so lost outside. So the poor Buddhas, have compassion with them, they're doing their best. But even when the Buddha is here, you are going seeing the Elephanti or the nice white temple. Hello. And also some people, some of my close people also, they went on a tour to one of the beautiful temples. And then it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And when I heard, I was like, my God. And then that driver, he sent them up. Oh, the temple is up there. It's just 1,000 steps. And the poor people, it's like, hello, that's nice. 36 degrees in the sun, 1.5 kilometers of steps, and already having a bad heart, maybe. And your pulse is going, hello, be intelligent. If you want to go, go early in the morning, sunrise, that's the time, cool, before the crowds, in the evening, magic hour. But you should think, plan, find out, not just be like, God, I would feel so sad if, you know, oh, that person, she died going up to that temple. For what? I'm going to see the Elephanti, and then the Elephanti just stepped on me. My God, you could sit here. The elephant is so beautiful. I'm all for it, but be aware of where you walk. I was just telling Yamuna the other day, we were talking about Elephanti because you have the Elephanti around here. Then I said, I was in Sri Lanka. This was before I had come to Osho. I was really a jungle boy. And then I lived in a village there. And there they were still using a flock of elephants to pull the wood and the palm trees from the forest. So it was so cool to go and hang out with these people who worked in the forest. And I used to try to stand on those big trees, balance when the elephanti was pulling it, no? Because it's like, it's almost like you're a little in the ocean, you know, you have to balance on that. And then the whole day the elephanti was, but that's what they used the elephanti for, just like they used the ox for the, or the horse for the field, no? And then in the evening, they went to the big water pond, little lake, 4 or 5 elephantis. And then I got friends with these people, and they love to get brushed by this very hard brush like I have in my garage at home, like a big broom. And they are like, oh, brushing. Oh. Then you lift the ear, you know, like a big ear, and then scrub them good. And he's looking at it like, thank you, like that. So cool. That is beautiful, you know. You're like part of it. Then he lays down like the elephant is just like a baby, you know. He's big, but he's not playing that I'm so strong like that. No. I'm just the elephant. He lays down like that. Then you scrub him. But I remember I always had to be careful because when he likes it so much, and the horses do the same, then they roll around. So you have to be very quick. Either you jump off or you run over the valley to the other side. You know, it's like 3-4 steps to the other side of the belly. But that was nice because all natural, no? So I'm all for it, but when there is satsang, there is satsang. When there is elephanti, elephant, think. He leaves the dark way for the way of the light. He leaves his home, seeking happiness on the hard road. Free from desire, free from possessions, free from the dark places of the heart. Free from the dark places of the heart. Free from attachment. Following the seven lights of awakening and rejoicing greatly in his freedom. Seven lights of awakening. That is, in almost all the tradition, they have seven levels, no, seven chakras. So the Buddha is saying seven lights of awakening. So when all your chakras, all your legs is awakened, ignited, in balance. An ordinary man, they just function from the lowest chakra. It's just food, money, sex. That's where it functions. Very few people get above the third. The fourth, the heart, only then you become human, the way I see it, no? With the whole chakra system. Most humans, they live in the lower. They never come to the heart. Heart is like a midway station. Then when you have settled in your heart, transcended the dark ways, when you have become a devotee of love, of the heart, of light, then it's a different gravity, then it's not something that pulls you down. The energy starts pulling you up. It's an anti-gravity to the higher chakras, to your crown chakras, to enlightenment, to freedom. Free from the dark places of the heart, following the seven lights of awakening, and rejoicing greatly in his freedom. And you will rejoice greatly in his freedom, because you know how it is to be a prisoner, a slave. In this world, the wise man becomes himself a light, pure, shining, free. That's what the Buddha's message. There is a possibility for the wise man to become himself a light. That is what the Buddha is. Become a light unto yourself. He himself, she herself becomes a light. And when you become a light, then you are a light in this world of confusion, of darkness. And then other people can get ignited from your light. That is the whole mission of the Buddha. First, the work to become a light, to following the path of the light, to leave the places, dark places of the heart. Then that light will share the light to others. It happens by itself. The light is effortless. It's just the nature of light to shine.